Get ready to be inspired and empowered through God's Word as you now listen to the teaching of Reverend Sam Chiaka.
Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 4, and I will read from verse 13. Romans chapter 4. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The promise will not come to pass by keeping the law, but by the rightness of faith. Remember, I told you that every time you want to put your faith to work, it must be based on what? A promise that God has given you. We're continuing on our series, actually concluding it today, how faith works. He said the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. You're not going to receive all that God has promised you because you are able to do it. Because you are able to achieve the things by yourself. How many of you know that if you needed to pay a hospital bill, for instance, and it's so expensive and you cannot afford it, and somebody comes and say, I will take care of the bill for you. What did the person give to you call? What's it called? A promise. A promise means the responsibility to pay the bills has been taken away from you and been put on another person. That means the burden, the responsibility to get the money and to pay your bills has been taken from you. You have been freed from it. Somebody else carries that responsibility. He said the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Faith is how you bring into your life that which God has promised you. You cannot act on faith when there is no promise. So I told you how faith works. The first thing you must do to change things in your life is to find the scriptures that promise you that thing. Isn't that what we said? Find the scriptures where God promised you that thing. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Faith must give you the thing. Faith is what obtains the promises of God. Faith is what puts in your hand that which God has promised you. But see, it has to be what God has promised you first. Faith will put it in your hand. Verse 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17. Are you seeing this? As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, that is God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. That is, according to the promise. Watch this. We are looking at how faith works, right? This is how faith works. I told you, Jesus told us in Mark 11, you read Mark 11, 23 and 24, Jesus said, Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. So Jesus said, whosoever can have whatsoever. God is not limiting you. God is not the one holding your answers and saying, I will not give it to you. You are not yet ready for it. You are not set for it. It's not your time. It's not, God is not holding back from you. If you put your faith to work, you receive the blessings of God. Amen. Simple and short. In the next verse of Mark 11, verse 24, now he says, and whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So before you receive something, you must first believe that you have it. Watch what Abraham did. The same thing. Back to Romans chapter 4. Verse 18 says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, or now as good as dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Did you see that? God is impressed by nothing but by the faith of a man. God was so impressed with Abraham's faith that God credited righteousness into the man's account. The Bible says, because he believed God, it was credited unto him for righteousness. It was imputed unto him for righteousness. There is nothing that thrills God than when a man dares to believe him. There's nothing that thrills God more than when a man, seeing opposing circumstances, dares to hold God at his word. There is nothing that pleases God than when a man believes what God has said, even when the circumstances don't look like it. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us in verse 6, he says, and now without faith, it is impossible. Doesn't say it is hard. Doesn't say it is difficult. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. It says, without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. He must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. God wants you to believe him. Why is that a factor? Because oftentimes when God says something, the devil will throw tantrums. The devil will make circumstances shake you. The devil will cause things to look like it is not working, it's not working, it's not working, it's not working. The devil will raise dust. But then we stand on our ground and stand on the word of God. That pleases God. And you must dare to believe God. You must dare to believe that what God said is so. Until you can take the word of God, the written word of God, and believe it just as you believe it. That one and one is equal to two. We don't argue that one. The truth is that we all have faith. And in fact, even before you got born again, you had natural faith. Natural faith. For instance, you came to church, they offered you a seat. You saw a seat and you sat down. You didn't check whether this thing will hold your weight. You didn't check whether can this thing hold me. You sat because you have faith that that thing will hold you. You enter transport fare, you know, a vehicle to get to church today. You didn't go to the driver's side to check the driver. Let me see your eye like this. Can you see well? Can you see well? Can you see well? How many fingers like this? Can you see well? Oh God, where is your driving license? Let me see. When did you learn driving? You don't know whether the person can drive. You don't know whether his eyesight is trustworthy. You just enter the bus and you got ready. You believed that the person who is there can take you to your destination. The doctor gives you a drug, gives you prescriptions, tells you to take this on so day. Or maybe in a worst case, they say you are slated for surgery. You lie down there. You trust the doctor. What if he kills you? You trust that he will do his job. What did you exercise there? It's faith. There is no faith that does not have action. Faith always has action. If I say I believe that this seat can carry my weight, I don't stand there and keep saying, yes, sit down now. I believe the chair is good. Sit down now. It's okay. I know it's good. Oh, yeah, sit down now. You are not sitting. Even though you claim to say, I believe this chair can carry my weight, what is that you're doing? It's called unbelief. Because faith will sit. You go to a restaurant, you don't know how they cook the food. You don't even know who cooked the food. But you have faith that due process of hygiene must have been observed and that this food won't kill you and that it was not poisoned. You have faith in people you don't know, whom you have never met, whom you don't see. How come we find it hard to have faith in what God promised us? How come we lack faith? Faith is not a feeling. Some people are waiting. Say, oh, do I believe? Oh God, God, do it for me. I'm in trouble. If you don't help me, I'm really in trouble. See, you are waiting for a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is an action. Faith is an action. Faith is that action you take when you consider that something will work in your advantage and you take it anyway. That is an action. It is called faith. Faith is not in claiming that you believe, but you are not doing it. It is in the doing that you exercise faith. Faith has an action. Faith takes actions. The Bible says Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So in that circumstance, he's expecting the fruit of the womb. He's expecting the blessing, the promise of Isaac that was yet to come. What is the action of faith there? Watch what Abraham did. He changed his name according to the instruction of God from Abram. Abram means assumed or supposed father. Someone that plays a fatherly role but not a father. Abram. He changed his name to Abraham, meaning actually a father. Think about it. The neighbors would have been saying, when they hear the wife say, Abraham. And say, yeah. See madness. Hey, yeah. They've been waiting for children and now they are so old that, you know, the child, you know, it didn't come, and so they've started calling themselves, hi, Jay. Hey, yeah, we pity them. And Abraham will call the wife, instead of Sarah, he says, Sarah, this madness is both ways. But it wasn't madness, that's the action of faith. If you truly believe, you will act as one who truly believes. If you believe that what God has said concerning you is so, you will act like it is so. Thank you, Jesus. So, faith has an action. In the previous series, while we are in this series, I told you faith has a voice. Faith speaks. Faith calleth, like God, calleth the things which be not as though they were. Faith lays claim on the things that are not yet seen and claim it to be his own. I'm going to reiterate that as we go along. But faith now also has an action. Thank you, Jesus. Now remember, back to that Mark 11. Let me show you again. I quoted it a moment ago. Go back to Mark 11. Mark 11. But this time, let me show you. In Mark 11, now verse 23. Mark 11, 23. In verse 22, Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Actually, that word have faith in God can also be rendered, the word in there in the Greek can also be rendered of. So you can read it like this. In fact, some translations render it that way. Have the faith of God. That is, have the kind of faith that God has. Have faith in God. Because there are two kinds of faith. There is the God kind of faith, and there is the man kind of faith. The man kind of faith, hold on to Mark 11. Let me show you that one, is in John 20. I described it a moment ago. Hold on to Mark 11. We're coming back there. Jesus appeared to them, all right, his disciples, but that day Thomas was not in service. He had one business, you know, involvement, and he was not in church. But that day Jesus came. See, I beg you, as much as is in your power, try not to miss services. Alright? As much as is in your power. Ask yourself, what is your reason for missing service when you miss service? Ask yourself. If it is a reason that doesn't, I'm tired, that's not a good reason. If your life depended on it, tired will not. I don't have offering. Did we gather for your money? Give what you have, and if you don't have, it's okay. Next time you will have. What's the big deal of not coming to church because you don't have an offering? I didn't iron my clothes. Is this a beauty pageant? So Thomas had one reason he didn't come to church. See, verse 24. John 20, verse 24. But Thomas, was one of the 12, called the Demas, was not with them when Jesus came. This is after he rose from the dead. Another disciple therefore said unto him, you missed service. Jesus came. But he said unto them, Lorero, is a lie. You are not going to deceive me. He said, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. This is what is called the man kind of faith. Human faith. It believes only after it sees. The human kind of faith depends on the five senses before it can believe something. Alright? So, because I can see this thing is there, now I believe it is there because I see it. It depends on the senses, the five senses. Seeing, hearing, tasting, feeling, smelling, and so on and so forth. That's what Thomas did. He said, except I see and touch him and feel him, I will not believe. Well, Jesus heard it. Even though he couldn't see Jesus, Jesus heard it. Bible tells us, verse 26, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were with him. This time, Thomas was in church. But it's next Sunday. After 8 days, the next Sabbath, next Sunday. This time, Thomas was in church. Then came Jesus. The doors being shut, and he stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, then he faced Thomas and said, Thomas, come. Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands. Showed him his hands where they pierced him. Reach hither thy hand and trust it to my side. and be not faithless, but believing. So the human believing, which believes only after it sees, Jesus calls it faithlessness. Look at it, verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Now, because he has seen Jesus face to face, he has seen him that he is really risen from the dead. Now he's shaken, My Lord and my God. But Jesus was not impressed. Look at it, verse 29. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you now believe. Ha! Huh. Is it because you can now see? Blessed are they. Come on, let's read it together if you have your Bible. Let's read the last thing Jesus said there. Come on, are you there? Verse 29. Blessed are they that have not seen yet believe. That's the other kind of faith. Let's turn there. Jesus explains it more. Back to Mark 11. So there is a faith that has to see before it can believe. Okay, so the Bible says, is there any sick among you? Let him come to the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And then you came. You are sick. And then you came. And now prayer was for you. You don't believe that that was sufficient for your healing. You still went back, and then because the doctor said, you say, I am not healed. Can you see that? Look what Jesus said. Back to that Mark 11. Mark 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you. Let's read it together. All right. Mark 11, 24. Are you there? One, two, go. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Did you notice the levels? What's the first thing? What's the first thing there? When you have a desire. So somebody said, I want something. I want something. You are not wrong. That desire is the first step to answered prayers. Your desire is first step to answered prayers. Some people think that God doesn't want to give us our desire. It's not true. Except your desire is for the downfall of another. Except your desire is powered by hatred. Things are not of the fruit of the Spirit. No. If your desire is genuine and that which will be profitable to you and to others, God wants it too. Are you sharing what I'm telling you? If you are tired of poverty, God also wants you out of it. God wants to put resources in your hand so that you will become a blessing to other people. But if your desire to have money so that you will oppress people, God is not with you on that one. But if your desire is to truly be a blessing to people, you want to help people. The sufferings people go through, it touches your heart. You come to church like this, you see a need, and you desire to be a part to build God's work. God sees your heart. That desire is legitimate. God gave you that desire. Some people don't know that, you know, God, you know, puts desires, his divine desires in our hearts. Hallelujah. So Jesus said the first thing to an answered prayer is what? Desire. He said, when you have a desire, what's the next thing? The next thing is what? When you pray. Your desire should lead you to prayer. The problem is that sometimes the devil corrupts people's desire. Their desire leads them to fraud. They desire to come out of poverty, so it leads them to fraud. Instead of following the structure of God, they go another direction. Their desire leads them to stealing. Their desire leads them to entering into cultism. Their desire, you know, leads them. Do you realize it starts with a desire? But will that desire lead you in God's own plan? Or will it lead you outside God's plan? Your desire should drive you more in the way of God. Your desire should drive you more to seeking the Lord. Are you hearing me? Don't kill that. I have a message for somebody here. Don't kill that desire in your heart. Some of you have dreams. You have desires. Don't kill that passion. Some of you have an unusual desire for certain things. In fact, your desires, all right, when it is purified, what I mean, that means it is, and what is the purification? It carries the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, you know, long-suffering, gentleness. Those desires can be divine leading. Your desires are pointing to divine direction sometimes in your life. Don't kill the desires. Now that you desire something does not always mean there will be no challenge. It doesn't mean there's no difficulty. It doesn't mean it's all fun. But you have something inside you driving you in that direction. That's it. It's part of it. He said, but it should lead you to seeking God. That's the word prayer there. That your desire should lead you to seeking God. Not away from God. Not to put your hand in things that are wrong. He says, look at it, go back to verse 24, Mark 11. Therefore I say to you, what things soever desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. That's the next thing. After you have prayed, what did he say you should do? When should you believe that you receive them? After you have prayed. Do you know what a lot of us do? We want to believe we have received them after we have received them physically. But that's not what he said. He said, after you pray, believe that you now have it. At what point should you start believing that thing you asked for, you've gotten it? The moment you get up from the place of prayer. As long as you are still postponing it, one day, God will do it for me. Oh God, do it for me. Oh God, do it for me. You don't have it yet. That is the missing link. That is why a lot of Christians pray and they don't get answers to their prayer. Because after praying, you say, God, do it for me. Tomorrow you come back. God, do it for me. God say, okay. Tomorrow you come back. God, do it for me. Tomorrow you come back. God, do it for me. You are waiting till you see it before you believe God has heard your prayer. You are not going to get it. You have to believe now that God, who is a spirit, has answered your prayers now. If you go, answers to prayer is like planting a seed. If I open this ground and plant a seed there and cover it, maybe say I plant cocoyam. Do you see cocoyam immediately? But is cocoyam there? Do you see cocoyam? No. Looking with your physical eyes, do you see anything? No. But has it been put there? Yes. The moment you pray is the moment God answers, if you truly believe. When you get up from that place of prayer, you do what the Bible says. Go to Philippians. Let me show you what you do. Philippians chapter 4. If you don't learn to do this, you will not have the joy of getting answers to prayers. You keep struggling with answers. You wonder why your prayer doesn't work. This is why. You are putting things in the wrong order. Believing comes before seeing in the kingdom of God. Out there they say seeing is believing. In the kingdom of God, it is believing is seeing. You cannot see what you don't believe for. Philippians chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. And verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6. Be careful. Or the word careful there is worry. Be worried for nothing. Be worried over nothing. So, if you really believe that God heard your prayer, what's the first thing you do? You stop worrying. You stop worrying. There was one time I traveled. As at that time, there were no phones. There was no mobile telephone. I had gone to write admission into the university exams. I think I traveled to Ibadan. So there was no phones to reach me and something like that. And when I returned, my mom said, I was very worried because I returned very late. I said, did you have to be worried? You could have prayed. He said, I was praying. I said, how can you pray and be worried? I was praying and worried. No, the two doesn't match. Do you understand? You either worry or you pray. If you pray, you stop worrying. Otherwise, you have not prayed correctly. You pray and drop the worries. You pray and you drop the worries. Jesus says, when you desire something, you pray, then you believe. You may have no proof that that thing has worked. Just set your mind that it has worked. Believe and stop the worry. He says, verse 6, be careful, be worried for nothing, but in everything, by what? Prayer. See that? Instead of worrying, do what? Pray. And supplication. If you truly believe God heard your prayer, the next thing is with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Let your requests be made known unto God. Let your requests. This is not my word. This is the word of God. Let your requests. Let your requests be made known unto God. Tell it to the Lord. Let your requests be made known unto God. Thank you, Jesus. Let your requests be made known unto God. Many of you have not done that. You haven't done it. You have cried, you have run helter-skelter, you have asked this person for help, you've asked that person for help, you have done everything except to make your request known unto God. Let your request be made known unto God. Your request. Brothers and sisters, we must learn to trust in God. You must come to a place where, if I die, I die. Jesus will see me through. And again, remember I told you, faith has a voice. Faith has a voice. There's a way faith talks. Faith always claims that which God has done. It lays claims on it. It lays claims on it even when it doesn't yet see it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It lays claims on it. Faith will lay claim on that which it has asked of the Lord. When you ask the Lord for something, receive it, collect it. If you ask God for a job, when you get up from the place of prayer, collect the job. Somebody says, how do I collect it? You change your mind that you now have it. Thank you, Jesus. You now have it. You now have it. Now, when you have it, you go and look for it. So, where is the job? It's somewhere God has given it to me. You go searching for it. Searching where you asked the Lord for it. I asked God for this kind of job. Say, for instance, I asked God for this particular kind of job and I have them, you know, this thing for it. So, you go to those places and start searching for it. You will find it there waiting for you. God heard your prayers. Hallelujah. God heard your prayer. That's the way faith works. You make your confessions of faith. You lay claims on. If it is something of a long term, then well, you have to maintain your confession till you get there. Every morning you rise on your faith. I already told you to, if you followed me in this series, I already told you to write down your confessions of faith. Faith has a voice. I thought I've done enough justice on why you must say it. You say it again. You say it again. You say it again. You say it every morning. It's mine. You say it again. It is mine. You say it as you are living in that reality today. And you lay claims on it. Nothing shall be impossible to him that believeth. Hallelujah. Esikima toko balikata.
Where you cannot speak for yourself, when you are not there and they table your matter, that power will defend you. I said that power will defend you. I said that power will defend you. When they call your name in an evil gathering, the power of God will arise to fight for you. Anywhere they unite against you, that union is dissolved in the name of Jesus. That union is scattered in the name of Jesus. Everywhere they have an alliance for your downfall, that alliance is disoriented in the name of Jesus. They shall rise, but not for your sake. Whosoever shall rise against you shall be scattered for your sake. In the name of Jesus, the Lord will fight for you, and you will hold your peace. You will not have to do anything to see God working on your behalf. In the name of Jesus, may your hands prosper. May your struggles not be in vain. Your labors will never be in vain. I say your labors will never be in vain. Maybe you go to work on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, laboring. Maybe you have a talent, you are pushing, trying to bring it out. Maybe you have a skill, you are trying to make ends meet. Favor will accompany your labor. I say favor will greet your labor. The things you are legitimately doing, I say it will prosper. In this month of August, favor will smile at you. Heavens will smile at you. The rain of divine blessings will fall on you. In the name of Jesus. Maybe you are here, you are searching for opportunity. For a job, you've not gotten it. For a business, you've not gotten it. You are putting in for contracts. You have not gotten it. You are trying to make it happen. It has not happened. Now, in this month, I said in this month, you will come back with a testimony. You will come back rejoicing. You will come back rejoicing. You will come back with tears of joy, with smiles on your face. In the name of Jesus, that sickness will leave you. And you will be free from that pain. You will live life to glorify God. In the name of Jesus. That is a prayer from my heart to you, and God has honored it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
This message was brought to you by the Father's Family Mission International. For more information on our ministry schedule, how you can partner with us, or to download more edifying messages free of charge, visit www.thefathersfamily.org.ng. God bless you.